Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
We are 1 hour and 54 minutes away from the final farewell speech of President Barack Obama's tenure as President of the United States, bye-bye speech in Chicago. Yeah, we're about an hour and 54 minutes, and they got a lot of time to fill on CNN. He has just landed in Chicago. There was gunfire, I'm sure. It's a joke, people, because never mind. If I have to explain it to you, it's just right over the head there. And they're just, what are the press going to do with Trump? That's my thing, man. That guy is going to give them hell. And he is going to get it. They can't stand him. He is everything they hate. Right? I mean, he is everything they hate. He is going to give them hell. And he's going to call them on their crap. And vice versa. It is going to be hilarious. Because this last 8 years has been nothing but sunshines and rainbows for the press and President Obama. They never called him on anything. They rarely questioned him on anything. And when you got the likes of CNN and MSNBC, who just basically drooled over you and had that little thingy, shaky thing down the leg, well, it's different now, kids. You got somebody who sometimes seems a little bit unhinged who's going to be up there. I'm waiting for him to come down and just start throwing blows. How great would that be? I mean, come on. As horribly as it would be, we'd look behind us and go, damn, that was bad, but it was kind of funny. I love that. That is great. Like, do you remember, was the fight with Ron Artest? Remember that when he went in the stands, the basketball player?
Malice at the Palace.
There's a great story about Steven Jackson, who laid that other guy out who ran on the court. And they were all in the locker room. Ron Artest looks at him and goes, do you think we're going to get in trouble? Steven's like, yeah, we're going to get in trouble. We fought fans. Oh, my Lord. Goodness me. Small business is the backbone of America. It is in a lot of ways. And I don't think people realize that because they, you know, we only ever bitch about the large businesses out there. But the backbone of America is small business and small business owners. I am one of them. I bust my ass, work hard doing what I do. I have dreams, as do many other people. I was talking to somebody last night. He's got dreams. Want to make sure their dreams come true. What do? You got to have dreams, and you got to take those dreams, and you got to put them on paper. Got to have goals. Got to have goals. Got to have a little bit of money. Got to take a risk. This administration has not been super kind when it comes to people taking risk. We've seen it over and over again with the Fight the 15 crowd and everybody else who seem to think that, you know what? All business owners have just tons of money just laying around, right? They just got tons of money. And what we've seen, if it isn't taxes, it's regulations. And it's over-regulating, and it's over-regulating, it's over-regulating. And I talk about all the time, the insanity of the things that we have to do when we get our business licenses is just insane. The amount of crap that I have here on doors and things, and don't go in here, and let's put this up here, and you got to make sure you have this, and it's insane. It is. Last night, Bernie Sanders, the sand dog, had a town meeting for whatever reason. They thought it was good to give him a town, little town hall. And he had it on CNN. And a small business owner, Jim Jacobs, got up. And he was not a fan of Bernie and or the Obama administration. Take a listen.
I'm a business owner, and we just keep getting kicked in the teeth by this administration. It's regulation after regulation and tax upon tax. What Donald Trump does understand is the complexities of business and, you know, to reward the person who takes the risk. So really, you know, my question is, this country was founded on entrepreneurship. Why is this administration so against the business owner?
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to defend some of what Bernie says here, because the people on the left are you know, were like, oh my God, Bernie's right about some people on the right are like, ah, they do hate him. And it's not all about this president, but this is Bernie and his disagreement with said small business owner.
I don't think this administration, the Obama administration you're referring to, is so against the business owners. When you talk about tax increases, yeah, Obama did. I don't know your income, and I'm not concerned about your income. Obama did raise taxes on the top. He raised taxes on the top 1 or 2%. And you know what? I would have gone further.
Okay, that's, again, everything with him is taxes, and that's that. But by the way, you cannot tax yourself into prosperity. And it's a great one. It's one of the great sayings, and I love it. When Churchill said, taxing yourself to prosperity is like putting yourself in a bucket and trying to lift it up. It just does, and you try to lift it up. It doesn't work, all right? But here's what politicians don't get. And it, as a small business owner, people understand this if you're a small business owner, if you've started something. Maybe you've grown something big, and you remember the days when you started. Maybe you've, you know, and this is where I think, too, also a lot of these kids who are Silicon Valley kind of guys who come up with this brilliant stuff, they forget this because they never had this. Because by and large, your mom, dad may give you a little something and you're young, and all of a sudden these internet tech billionaires who think they know everything about everything, they then end up getting $200 million, all right? You know, $100 million. As a small business owner, let me tell you something. It's tough out there. And this guy nails it. And many times in life, this is what politicians, especially left-leaning guys like Bernie and everybody else, seem to forget, because they've never once in their life have written a check, have had a payroll, have had to do all of the things that people who employ people have to do. Listen to what this guy has to say.
Taxes.
I'm a business owner. I'm not a multimillionaire. I'm not a billionaire.
Okay?
I mean, you haven't lived until you put a payroll on your credit card. You know, I mean, this is the reality of the backbone of this country.
Boom. Drop the mic there. You haven't lived until you've had to cover stuff and go without as a business owner. You haven't lived till you've had to go to your people and say, look, I'm going to give you some of your payroll now, and I'm doing everything I can, and you go home and you don't have anything. That's what being an entrepreneur is about, knowing that, you know what, I got something great, and it's going to grow, and it's opportunity here, and I'm building it, and I'm sacrificing it, but my skin is in the game, and if I got to go in even into more debt to make sure my people are covered, this is what I'll have to do. This is it right here. They don't get that. They think because, well, it's not taxes, it's this, that, and the other. Here is where they get back and forth, and this is where I will protect Bernie in some ways on this one. Take a listen.
Should a small business or a large business be able to pollute the water or the air or the food? No, I hope you don't believe that.
I don't pollute air, I don't pollute water, I don't pollute food. However, rules and regulations come in to cover all of business, and you're trying to start a business. It's tough enough in the
gym. I think we should take a look at it, but it's, you know, the devil is in the details. We got to see what those regulations are.
And he goes on to say that, you know, everything that Obama got blamed for in a lot of places isn't, you know, state regulations, things like that. That's very true. But the federal regulations, by and large, are ridiculous. And the state regulations. I live in a state where good luck trying to start a business, good luck trying to bring any manufacturing here. You couldn't manufacture rainbows and sunshine here. They'd find a way to make it bad. You can't. California is that way. Overregulation. And what you don't see as a consumer is the price points that get put off to you, the fact that you have to make sacrifices, and maybe instead of hiring four people, you only hire three, or maybe you hire two and you work even extra. You miss your kids. You sacrifice a lot. You do these things because you have an idea and a dream. And it's not easy. It's not. But I tell you what, government doesn't make it any easier. They do all that they can to make it harder. The regulations that this administration has put through is ungodly. The land grab, the regulation, the BS. Look. No, but, and this is the thing. Oh, should anybody be allowed to produce? Obama don't want that. No, Bernie. We want clean rivers. We want clean air. But we also want common sense along with it. That's the issue. And I have never in my life have ever met somebody, a big corporation, that wants to pollute everything and get a bad rap. In this day and age, they want to do everything they can so it's not to get in trouble from the social justice warriors and from their stockholders and from all of those stuff. It's like BP, right? Like, do you think BP wanted to have that big spill? Do you think they woke up and, you know what? Hey, let's ruin everybody's day today. We'll have a big spill and the world will hate us. No, they didn't. My God, the insanity of these people. But go into a business and look how many weird signs are everywhere. Go into a business and look how many things are like, what did that cost? What kind of thing is that? How many people had to be trained for that? Who had to have a special license for this? Go look at all that stuff. It adds up. Regulation after regulation. Look, I want clean air and water. I want safe buildings. I want all of the things. What I don't want is the unnecessary red tape and fees and the overkill of something to the point where it's so ridiculous that it's no longer worth it anymore to even try to become profitable in certain states, and sometimes even doing something on a federal, on national level. You have no chance. You don't. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We do What's Next this hour, every day, this time, with the president landing in Chicago, saying his farewell speech tonight. Let's take a look at what's next for the Obamas. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What's next? Well, an hour and 36 minutes or so from now, President Obama will stroll to the stage to give his farewell address to the nation. I think everybody in the world will be watching at some point in time. Not. But it's going to be big. It's going to be on every broadcast channel. So you think about it. NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox. Then you have all of the, you know, C-SPAN and all of those kind of things. And then, of course, MSNBC, Fox, and CNN will all carry it. It's his goodbye. What's next for the Obamas? First of all, the young girls still want to, they're on their way to finishing high school. They're going to stay local. I think that's really cool that, you know, they're at that age where, you know, they're going to be, you know, finishing through high school and they'll finish off and go off to college. I'm sure both of them are, you know, you've seen them grow up and I wish them all the best. I have zero problems with them. I never once in my life would ever say anything. I see too many people that jump on bandwagons and stuff. It's ridiculous. I think what's next for them is probably a very fruitful and a very prominent career because your mom and dad are who they are. What's next for Michelle? That's an interesting story. I don't know what's next for Michelle. You know, the thought process that at some point in time, she's an attorney as well, very similar situation to Hillary. And I don't know what's next for Michelle. You know, the thought was that Michelle was going to, you know, people are saying, she's going to run for office at some point in time. I don't know if she wants that. I do think she's going to go back and work. I think private practice. I think she could be a big lobbyist. I think there's a lot of things that she is going to do. Don't be surprised if they don't start their own nonprofit in some way, shape, or form. But I don't ever rule her out running for office, you know? And they're not broke, by the way, so I don't think we have anything to worry. They bought a very nice house instead of coming out of the White House poor and broke. Remember that? But I'm not quite sure. I'm wondering for her, did somewhere down the road, when you get away from it all, she says no now, but when you step away from everything and the dust settles and you look back and you think, do I want to do that? And I tell you what, I think, and this is just me when it comes to Michelle, I think Michelle does have aspirations. And knowing that Hillary wasn't president of the United States, I think that gives her some oomph to run for office at some point in time and maybe seek the office of President of the United States. There's something about that. There's something about that. And as far as President Obama goes, I think the first thing he's going to do besides take some more golfing vacations is write a book so we can find out all the salacious details. And not so much about the Washington fights and this, that, and the other, about the Clintons. Now that it's over and dusted, now that everything's done, now that it's all gone, I think we may see some real stuff. And I think he's going to be active inside of politics. I don't think he's going anywhere. It's not that just girls are finishing. I think he's a young guy who is going to do some stuff inside of politics. And unlike other presidents, I think he's very worried about his legacy, and he's going to do all he can to restock and rebuild the Democratic National Party and the Democratic Party in itself. But also, I think he is going to put himself into more conversations when it comes to this president in a lot of ways that other presidents haven't done. They've respected the office of once I'm gone, I am gone, and I am not going to talk about it. And I don't know if we're going to get that, but that's what I think what's next for the Obamas. It's going to be very interesting what's going to happen. Again, we're an hour and 32 minutes away from his final speech, just 4 miles away from where he gave his victory speech that night. And whether you like him or not, that speech was amazing. He has given some amazing speech. He's much like Clinton. He was a hell of a campaigner. I thought President Clinton was a better politician and a more centrist and had an idea of how to read the American people better. But it's very interesting here. But he's going to give his final speech tonight. And of course, we'll talk about it tomorrow, probably. I say probably because we'll probably play one cut. And I'll be like, eh, I really don't care. Because they don't. It's over. It's done. It's time for us to move on. Right? So that's what's next for the Obamas. Moving forward. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You've got one. You've got two. You've got five. You've got 10. You may want one. What is the cost of raising one? Where do you hear this? Chad Benson Show.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. A lot of people tweeting at me. You can feel free to do so at Chad Benson Show. We've got a couple polls up. We'll get to those in a bit. People pissed about the old Dylann Roof. Some stuff that I can't repeat on the internet and or the regular, on the radio. But they say it on the internet. One person, when I was just talking about President Obama, we were just talking about what's next for the Obamas. And Isaac underscore McLovin tweets at me, at Chad Benson Show. Obama said in his speech that Michelle will never run for president. He said it himself. That means nothing. It's politics, right? I mean, that means nothing. If they're talking, they're lying. Plus, you don't know what life's going to be like in 5 years. I may not want to do it now. I may want to in 5 years. I may want to do it now. In 5 years, I may go, yeah, it wasn't something I wanted to do. And we have breaking news, too. And we will, this is going to be happening. And this, there is some salacious information that is supposed to be coming out about Donald Trump. Russian hackers have gotten a hold of videos and some other stuff with him, with women doing some kinky things. And again, your kink is not my kink. My kink may not be yours. And what you do behind closed doors should probably never have gotten out. But as you're a powerful individual, this is the thing about being a powerful individual. And maybe this is why he's changing his tune a bit. You know, would Russia use this against him? And in some way, shape, or form, it's possible. I have a feeling, though, he's one of these guys that's like, whatever. You know what? Screw you guys. But some of the stuff that we're hearing about it is very uncompromising, very salacious. Let's just put it this way. I'm not going to mention it on the radio because I like working on the radio. If I was on a satellite show, if I was doing a podcast, we'll talk about it in between. It's just something that is not for consumption in this PG-13 era that we live in here on the radio, because God knows that, you know, people freak out about it. But we'll see. I mean, and at first it was one of those things where we kind of like, eh, how real is this? But now it's in the New York Times, and it's on Reuters and the AP, and it's on TMZ. And if anybody's going to get a hold of it, it's TMZ, right? Like, because Gawker's gone. Man, what kind of money do you think Gawker'd pay for that? Oh, it's gone. But it's Donald Trump and them have been talking about this behind closed doors. So we'll see what happens here. But it is supposed to be salacious. And from what I've heard, it is. And the fact that they have it on video, yeah, that'd be salacious. I don't know if it wouldn't affect him. Again, I don't think any of this is going to affect him. But what I hear, you know, it's very salacious. So we'll see what happens. But definitely uncompromising. I think if he got caught as president, it would be one thing, but this happened before. So, you know, this happened before. So I don't think we can really hold that against him. You can tweet the show. You can text at 323-538-2423. Texter writes in, says, hey, Chad, you mentioned gunfire as Barack arrived in Chicago. I did tongue in cheek, by the way. Does it mean that both him and Hillary have now been under sniper fire? No, they have not. That was funny, but no, they have not. You want a kid. Maybe you have a kid. Maybe you've raised several kids. The cost of raising a child nowadays is beyond expensive. In fact, from having a child today to raising the child to 17 years old. And remember, you never stop being a parent. Just because they're 17, you're like, you're off mom and dad's teeth now. No, wrong. You got to give them money all the time. We know that. This, by the way, this figure has zero to do with college. But the average cost to raise a child is $14,000 annually. It runs to $233,610. Oh, my God. Expensive. Now, the housing expense takes up a good portion of it, anywhere from 25 to about 33% of the total expense to raising a child is calculated into that. And then it's also broke down in different ways, urban versus rural differences. You know, you live in L.A., New York, Chicago, it's obviously more expensive. You live somewhere rural or a smaller town, it's less expensive. People in the Northeast, on average, $253,000 is their average. People in the urban West, $235,000. The South, $221,000. Midwest, about $217,000. And rural areas, about $193,000. If you're rich, higher income families, on average, $372,000. If you're poor, about $174,000. It's expensive. Average middle income is anywhere between $59,000 and $107,000. And again, this goes, it depends where you are, right? Like, it really does. It depends where you are. The cost of raising a child is ridiculous. And it's, you know, I have a six-year-old. You listen to the show. Everybody, guys, you know who Jack is. I have a six-year-old. Love him to death. It's expensive. You know, the cost of raising him is expensive. And if you, the funny thing is, if they're new, they're not as expensive. 0 to 2, only about $12,000. It's expensive as they get older. The biggest expense is going to come between 15 to 17. Why is that? Well, transportation's big. Clothing, food, teenage boys will eat a lot more than teenage girls. There's a lot of things here. But none of this is the thing. None of this calculates in the biggie, which is college. College is going to run you $20,000 a year, $40,000 a year. Private college is, it's expensive as hell, you know? So none of this calculates in that, which is insane. Absolutely. The more kids you have, the better it is. The more kids. So bigger families with three or more children spend on average 24% less per child. That's according to the USDA. That's because they share bedrooms, bigger families, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the reasons costs have risen is just housing. Children care is huge. I mean, we don't live in a, unless you're doing extremely well, we don't live in a stay-at-home culture anymore. Mom is working. Dad is working. Mom and mom are working. Dad and dad are working. Co-parents are working. Whatever it is that you decide to cohabitate with, man, woman, woman, man, non-gender specific individual, it's expensive to stay at home anymore. But it's also expensive to work because childcare is massive. Next to education and food, the highest cost of anything is the childcare. Middle-income couple with two children, food costs make up about 18% of that. Childcare make up 16%. Education costs have obviously risen. And we think about this. You know, you got private school, all these things. And I don't even know if this calculates in the little things, you know, or the big things. Take, for instance, my brother is a big hockey player. That ain't cheap. My mom spends about $48,000 to $60,000 a year to cover the cost of his travel and his hockey and the whole nine yards, all in the hopes that he will get some sort of scholarship or turn pro. But he loves, and it keeps him out of gangs, even though he would not be in gangs because he would be a really bad gang member. And he's lazy, so that's also not a go for him. But it is a those things. I mean, you don't calculate all that stuff in. It's crazy. So if you're sitting at home right now thinking, what is it going to take to raise a child from here to, boom, 17? And we always laugh because we say 17. 17 is the magic number for divorced people to not have to pay for kids anymore, essentially. That's it. Child, you know, alimony, all that, child support stuff, that stuff goes away. That seems to be the magic number. But we all know, as you're always the parent, like, it's not like I think, well, Jack's going to get to 17, I don't have to feed him anymore, and I'm not going to help him with school or any of those things. No, that's a lie. You're going to. You have your kids in all ways. You don't think your kid's going to come to you one day and go, Dad, can I get a loan for a car? Dad, can I, my girlfriend and I or my wife and I were getting married and we'd like to buy a house. And that's all stuff that, you know, you don't calculate in. It's a never-ending cost. That's really what it is. The animal kingdom has it right. I'm going to keep you alive until I think you can handle it yourself, and then you're on your own. And if I see you later in life, I may eat you. That's it. The animal kingdom has it best. I mean, I love kids, and I would love to have another one. I was telling everybody, you know, I look at my son, and I wish I would have had him 10 years younger, but it is expensive. And $233,000. And low-income families, you feel that. Yeah, it's great if you're a high-income family and somebody can stay home. But, man, I talk to people all the time in this living paycheck-to-paycheck world where, you know what? They debate whether or not it's cheaper for somebody to stay home because what they make barely covers gas, food at lunch, and childcare. That's the insanity of it all. I don't know. It's a tough thing, and it's only going to go up. It is. Nothing ever gets cheaper unless you got more of them, right? The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can tweet the show and text the show. Several people says discount for medical. I think this counts for everything. But I don't think it counts for that, like, hey, here's $20. Hey, here's $40. This is $40 for this. I just think it counts as a general terms. But still insane. Tweet the show at Chad Benson Show. Text us 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Little say what? A big boxing match is coming up. But it's got to be somewhere else. Wait till you hear why. And studies show that revenge could be good for your brain. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what? Say what?
And you can't do nothing, boy.
Is that Chris Brown? I couldn't tell because women weren't screaming as he was punching them.
Chad, you're a jerk.
Chad, you're... Wait, hold on. Now, am I considered a jerk? for that. I don't think I'm considered a jerk for that, because he did do that, right? Like, he choked the hell out of Rihanna and blackened her eye. Well, Chris Brown's going to have a chance to fight somebody that's not a girl. His name would be Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy, how many hits does he have? It's only one, right? It's like he's had one big hit. Let's hear a piece of the sweet Soulja Boy mega hit.
Soulja Boy, I'm in it. Oh. Why me crack it? Why me roll?
Whoa.
Why me crack that Soulja Boy? That Superman. That,
oh.
Why me
you?
Crack that Soulja Boy.
Soulja Boy. And Chris Brown are going to fight, it looks like, in Dubai. Because they have a beef, but not really. I'm not quite sure if they're beefing. God, do you remember Bell Beefers from Del Taco? Were those not delicious?
Oh my God, they were fantastic.
That was just the greatest invention ever. I'm going to take taco meat and put it on a very soft bun, and I'm going to eat it. And it's not Sloppy Joe's kind of thing. It was taco meat. It was delicious. Are you listening, Taco Bell? And you could get these two guys. You guys beefing? Try the new Bell Beefer from Del Taco or Taco Bell or whoever that wants to do it. But so they're going to fight. Now, this is the thing that's funny about this is, first of all, Mike Tyson. Hey, Mike Tyson, I'm going to fight. I'm going to teach the guy how to fight. I'm going to teach the guy. You know, he's going to do this. And, you know, it's everybody. I don't know if Soulja Boy, I don't know what his past is, but three of the four people participating in this are, how should we say this, are not kind to women. You got Mike Tyson. You got Chris Rock. You have Floyd Mayweather. And then you got Soulja Boy. Chris Brown, that's right. Chris Brown. Did I say Chris Rock? Chris Rock, you're a good guy. I love you. Sorry about that. So these guys, Chris Brown and Soulja Boy, are going to fight in Dubai. And the reason they're fighting, and it's going to be on pay-per-view, and the reason they're fighting, we're not quite sure. Again, they could be beefing. We're not quite sure. But the reason we're fighting in Dubai is because they wanted to do it in Vegas, but Vegas wouldn't sanction it because they wanted to do it without a drug test. Neither of them, I believe, are going to be able to pass said drug test. So they have had to move it to Dubai, and there will be a pay-per-view, apparently. Some money may go to charity. I'm not quite sure what charity that would be. If it was me, it would go to some sort of abuse center for women. But, you know, that's just me. I'm spitballing here, guys. I'm spitballing. Yeah.
I mean, why even bother why does Vegas worry about the drug test? It's not like it's an IBC or WBC fight. They're just going to fight. Let them fight.
I think they worry about it because they want it sanctioned and they want to be able to do something with the pay-per-view, probably. I don't know why either. I mean, you know, did you drug test Danny Bonaducci and Greg Williams when they fought? Or Manute Bol and Spud Webb? Which, by the way, if you've never seen that, I think it was Spud Webb. Right? Manute Bol was the tallest man in basketball. He was like 7'8". And he looked like a stick figure. And I think he fought somebody. It was hilarious. Remember when he played ice hockey, too? Oh, poor Manute. Passed away. God bless you. But, again, this is stupid. This is stupid. I will say this. Chris Brown, to me, has the sense of going away to jail forever for doing bad things. He's been arrested on numerous occasions. He just has that sense of you're going to do something and go to jail forever. Somebody is going to get shot and died and lose their life on your property, and that's the way I feel. That's just me. I'm spitballing again. These are ideas. Speaking of that, did you see that Aaron Hernandez, they told him today, his gun tattoos, if you don't know who Aaron Hernandez was, he was a big-time NFL star. He was one of the best players in the NFL, one of the best tight ends in the NFL, played for the Patriots, been convicted of murders, and his tattoos now are being brought up inside of a trial because they represent his killing of people and their gun tattoos. Just, there's that sense. You ever get that sense from people, right? Like, that guy's bad news, and I feel he's going away. I feel like he has not longed for freedom, and it's all of his own making. U2's doing a new tour. Say, what? They are. U2's decided to do a new tour. They've delayed their upcoming album. Do you want to know why? Because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the reason. After a surprise victory, band members said in an interview as they plan to reconsider certain songs in the wake of the Trump pregnancy. presidency. I could see another Trump. Well, I mean, she could get pregnant, right? Melania. The Edge said the band was placing albums released on hold and taking some breathing space to consider what they wanted to say following Trump's ascension to the White House. He said something like this. Well, it just went, you know, hold on a second there. We've got to give ourselves a moment to think about the record and about how we feel. That all relates to going on in the world, you know. And Bono never shuts up, right? Like, he thinks he's God. Like, what's he say about all this? Man, can't believe that. And I know they're going on tour. Are they coming out to FedEx Field, Phil? Is that where they'd be playing?
Yeah, they're going to be playing at the home of the Redskins here in about 6 months, and tickets go on sale tomorrow.
What are with those tickets? How fast do you think it is? That's only an arena band and a big Coliseum band. How fast do you think those things are going to sell out?
They're already sold out, man. Anything that anyone can get is going to be on the second market.
Yeah, sucks. It sucks. We shall see. Say what? President Obama's about an hour away from giving his farewell speech to the nation. We'll see how that goes, what he's going to talk about. Does he defend his legacy? Does he talk about the future? What's on his mind? You think he ad-libs? Probably not. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text us, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.